Thank you. Praise the Lord for praying moms.
Amen.
Boy, that certainly resonated in a tremendous way. So thank you again for that. All right. Again, just a special day for moms. I want to point out a couple folks. My sister-in-law and her husband, that's Ted and Colleen Madison, and they were here back in, that would have been like October. And it's great to have them here today. They live down in the Boise area, they're in Nampa. So it's Ted and Colleen. I'll have them raise their hands. They're such a blessing to me. And I, amen. And then my mother-in-law, Sheila Collins, she was here last week and she's back today. And she's just been a special person in my life. And I call her mom, you're my mom. And I'm glad you're here for Mother's Day. And so it was a very special Mother's Day to you. And yeah, you can give her a hand too, but again, for all our moms. And by the way, for all the moms, we have special gifts, and they're back in those back tables in the foyer. So make sure before you leave, I know there'll be some that are back there that'll remind you, you don't want to leave without taking a gift. There's a whole selection of gifts, and we want to just tell you Happy Mother's Day with those gifts. All right, real quick, faith promise. I wasn't going to give you an exact number, but I at least want to give you a little update on where we are. You know, so up till now, we've had the most cards turned in, right? 33 cards. Yeah. Last year was 31 cards. Last year, we were at 55,000 plus, you know, I don't know, 200 and some. Yeah, I think it was 55. Well, I can't remember the exact amount, but over 55,000 was pledged. And then 62.7 came in, praise the Lord. So, you know, more has been coming in, like I said. Now, you know, what's pledged this year, we have to wait to see how much comes in. But so last year with 55,000 plus pledged, this year it's already 66,000. So it's already 11,000 over. And, you know, those cards will just be there to today and then I'll take them off the table. That doesn't mean you still can't be a part of it if you'd like to. But that's just a tremendous, that just shows your heart for missions, because we're going to be able to take on some more missionaries and we'll be able to do more. And it's a blessing to me. What a blessing to see that. I know what a blessing it is to, you know, our missions director there, Brother Jason Jones. He and, of course, Emily have such a heart for missions, and many of you do as well. But anyway, just wanted to give you that update. I'll give you a final totals in the next, a final tally in the next couple weeks or so. All right, we'll take our Bibles. I mentioned to you we're in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, we've already taken a little time there. I'll try to be as brief as I can. We don't have a service tonight, so maybe that does give me a little bit, right? Can fudge a little here and have a little bit more time. But now we are starting. It's already 5 to 12. And so if your roast is in the oven, it could end up being a disaster. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, what a blessing it is to have a good mom. I'm so grateful that my mom, she was a great mom, and I'm so glad my mom knew the Lord. She was almost 91. She passed away on the last day of 2017, and she went to be with the Lord, and I'm looking forward to seeing her. Just what a blessing. I miss the fact that I can't celebrate it with her from year to year, but my parents, her and my dad, they did a great job. You know, in raising us. And really, for the most part, without really any fanfare. Can't you say that, moms and dads? I mean, most of the time, it's like it's kind of a thankless job being a parent. But you know what? That's what moms do, going now just to speaking about moms. They do it without any notoriety or recognition. They just do what they do because that's what God's put in their heart, to love their kids and to make those sacrifices. I saw this Mother's Day card with a confused-looking 3 or 4-year-old on it with the caption, "You mean to tell me your real name isn't Mommy?" That's your identity, but that's a good identity, isn't it? Mommy, you're just plain old mom, aren't you? Well, we don't think that, but some of the things that you put up with. I like this little comeback from a mom to her daughter. The daughter asks, "Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world?" "I'm not sure, sweetie. You'll have to ask Grandma that." It's a good comeback, yeah. Let me say this, moms. You are unsung heroes. You really are. And we don't say it enough. We could say it, I think if there was a holiday that needed to be done more than once through the year, it would be Mother's Day. I think that there could be three or four Mother's Day throughout the year just because of what moms do. And folks, we could say it five times a day and it wouldn't be enough. Thank you, moms, for all that you do. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make on a regular basis. So now we're going to take a look here at a special mom in God's Word, and here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So let me read through those verses. We're going to take a look at a mom by the name of Hannah. You know this story about Hannah if you've been saved for any length of time. Hannah was a very, very special mom. She was a great mom. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives." That is a big mistake right there, okay, first of all. "The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." So you see a conflict brewing, and that's what happens. "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh." And Shiloh was where they had the temple. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And said that they would go there once a year to worship and to sacrifice. "And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there." And those guys were not good guys at all, right? And it says here in verse 4, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for today being a special day, Mother's Day, again, that we can celebrate with our moms, and thank you for the mom you gave to me. What a great mom, and she just did so much for us, all the sacrifices that she made and the love that she had for me and my brother and my sisters, and I miss her, but I look forward to seeing her, Lord. I know she's with you, and Lord, I thank you for all the moms that are here. They're such a blessing, all these ladies, and Lord, I pray, Father, that your hand of blessing will be upon them, certainly not just today only, but throughout the year, and may we be more acknowledging of things that they do. They're not looking for it. They just do the things that they do because they love their children. They love serving you. But Lord, help us to be more acknowledging of that. So we thank you that we can celebrate them today. Thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to just come together on your day and sing unto you and have the fellowship that we have. And so now we pray that you'd bless this time as we read this story about Hannah and about what you did in her life, and Samuel. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to learn how to trust you, how to walk with you. Lord, how to learn how to turn things over. And you tell us to cast everything unto you, because you care for us, Lord. Lord, help us to do that. And so we pray that you'll bless today. We pray for Christ to be lifted up and glorified. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. And if there's somebody here without Christ, we'd love to see them get saved, Lord. We pray that you'd work in their hearts. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to take a look at Hannah. Hannah was a great mom. She was a special mom. And we're going to look at what made her a great mom as we read here in God's Word, a great woman. And the first thing was that she honored God. She honored God. She honored the Lord. That's something that we all should do. Amen. We ought to just determine that we want to honor the Lord in everything that we do. She sought him. She sought him, and that's honoring to God. May we learn to seek the Lord at every turn. May we learn to seek his wisdom. May we learn to seek that fellowship that we can have with the Lord, that blessed relationship that we have with him. And you can see that Hannah was a unique individual that had a love for God. May we never let that become lukewarm. May we never let it just begin to get stale in our lives, but may we have a heart that wants to seek the Lord. Again, that's good counsel for every one of us. If you aspire toward true greatness, then just learn to seek to honor God. So how did this all play out? Well, we see in verse 6, "And her adversary And that's Peninnah, the other wife. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. She was provoked. Listen, have you ever been provoked? Has anybody ever provoked you? The devil likes to use people to provoke somebody, especially that's living for the Lord. He will try to use somebody to provoke you. Maybe you're in a situation, and here Hannah, she didn't have any children, and the devil was using that adversary, Peninnah, to provoke her. Well, how are your children? Oh, sorry, Hannah, you don't have children. Oh, come on, little ones. And you know that she paraded them around Hannah whenever she had an opportunity, and especially as they made this yearly trek to Shiloh to make sacrifice, and the families were together. Boy, she took advantage of that opportunity, and she provoked her and made her fret, as it says, because the Lord had shut up her womb. You know, little kids are like that. Little kids like to provoke one another. I can think of a whole lot of times when that happened. Little kids are good at doing that. But, you know, when you get to be an adult, you should be past that, right? Well, not this woman. And listen, the Lord's going to use somebody to provoke you. And we just got to learn to rise above that, learn how to give it to the Lord. But at the same time, as godly as a woman that Hannah was, that was something that weighed heavy on her. She was already struggling with the fact that she was barren and didn't have any kids. And so, you know, to have this Peninnah just throwing that at her whenever that she had an opportunity. But listen, God is wanting us to learn a lesson as we go through provocation, as we go through these kinds of trials. Again, unfortunately, this happened from year to year for her, as it says there in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her because she wept and did not, and so she, or therefore she wept and did not eat. And then verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So something happened, you know, as far as this provocation, and Elkanah's trying to make it up to her, and he says, you know, my love for you, isn't it better than 10 sons? You know, notice Hannah didn't respond. There's no response there. I know you mean well, Elkanah, but that's not making up for the fact that I don't have children. God had put it in her heart to want children. That's a wonderful thing. What a wonderful calling it is for a mom to be able to raise children. Amen? You can say amen, moms. So from that, with this taking place, and, you know, even Elkanah trying to help her out and trying to comfort her, well, from all of that, a godly desire was produced in her heart. None of us, again, likes being provoked, yet God can use provocation to inspire us to some great things. And that's where we have to learn how to take something that's happening in our lives, and it may be very, very painful, not pleasurable at all, and we need to look at it and say, Lord, help me to understand this, because I believe you're going to bring something good out of it. But sometimes we can get pretty sour on things, right? Sometimes we can just begin to complain and mope instead of looking with the eyes of faith and saying, Lord, you know, you don't allow anything in my life but what you approve first. And you're allowing this in my life, whether it be a health issue, whether it be a relationship issue, whether it be whatever, you can fill in the blank. But if we can look unto the Lord and know what Romans chapter 8 Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, right? Yeah. We should be able to do that. Now listen, I don't always pass that test. I fail that test many times. There are times when I just get to complain and about my situation, and the Lord just stops me and says, now Reuben, how long have you been saved? I know, Lord, you've never failed me. There's something you're going to do with this. Forgive me. And maybe we go there. But it's good for us just to stop, kind of rein it in and say, Lord, forgive me. You say to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Please just help me to trust you. I know you'll bring something great out of this. God honors that. God honors that when we just learn to just trust him. You remember, diamonds are produced by great pressure. over a period of time, a long period of time, something great happens, and God allows some pressures in our life to bring forth something very, very special. So may I encourage you with that. Joseph was a great example of that, whether it was being rejected by his brothers. I mean, that was bad enough when they wanted to kill him and they throw him into a pit and then they sell him as a slave. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He's wrongly imprisoned and all of that, yet he arose above that because he just kept his eyes on the Lord, and the Lord lifted him up and the Lord gave him grace to be able to do that. So whatever it is that you have to experience, whatever it is that you may be going through, the Lord can use it for great things as we learn to trust him. So Hannah would not be denied. God had done something in her heart, and all of that, conflict that she had there with that other wife, Penina, she allowed it to be turned for good, and she just turned it over unto the Lord. And it says here in verses 9 through 11, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she is she's taken to the point where it just drives her to come before the Lord, and she comes before the Lord in great earnestness. Have you ever gone to the Lord in great earnestness? Yeah, we all have. Hopefully we take those things to the Lord. That's always the best place to take them. Listen, it's good to get to seek human comfort and talk to a spouse, and yes, we certainly want that. But the thing that we should do most is to take things to the Lord and to seek his comfort, to just lay those things out before him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so she comes before the Lord, and she's just determined to bring it to God. And she makes this vow that if God would give her a son, she would in turn give him right back to the Lord for his use as the Lord saw fit. So we see Hannah's heart in all of this. She truly wanted to honor the Lord. And in the fact that she sought to honor God, she shows clearly that in the second point, she trusted God. She just learned how to trust him. Verse 10 that we just read, where it says that she was in bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verses 12 and 13 speak along those same lines. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. So she gave up, she gave herself so much to prayer, and she got so caught up into it that she was unaware that Eli, that high priest, was watching. And she was in turmoil, I tried to imagine what she might have looked like as she was there just wrestling with the Lord in prayer, almost to the point where Eli thought, is this woman drunk? What's with this woman? She seems to be so beside herself. Well, she was so beside herself because she just was pouring out her soul unto the Lord. Folks, may we learn something here. You know, the Bible talks about in Luke chapter 11 when the disciples asked the Lord about, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. But he continues on by speaking to them in this parable about a man who he talks about how his importunity. In fact, in Luke chapter 11, let's just take a quick look there. In Luke chapter 11, the Lord brings up this important aspect about prayer. In Luke chapter 11, he says this. So he gave him the Lord's Prayer there at the beginning of Luke chapter 11, all the way to verse 4, and then he says this in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Remember, it's midnight. He says, I know you're my good friend, but we're all in bed now, and all the doors are closed, and my children are in bed. And he says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. That means his stick-to-itiveness. That means his persistence. This man would not give up. And it says, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And he says here in this parable that he's given to the disciples, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So he's saying, listen, we have to learn some importunity. We come before the Lord, and there's this, oh, Lord, please, Lord, hear me. Open the door of heaven, please. And in this parable, this man who's got a friend that comes to him is not going to open the door, but because of the man's insistence, he's not going away. I guess I'll have to get up and open the door and give him those loaves of bread that he needs. And the Lord's trying to teach us, if you'll have a bit of earnestness in your prayer, then you might see some results in your prayer. That's what the Lord is saying. And Hannah had some importunity in her prayer. And there she is. She is praying there in the temple. And Eli sees this, and he's wondering about her, and he's wondering if she's a bit inebriated. And so we see here in verses 14 through 16, as we come back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. I mean, he's so certain that she's drunk that he says that. Put away your wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, can you imagine? She must have been beet red. Oh, no. I mean, you can tell Hannah's not somebody that had probably ever drunk anything before. You can tell that she was a sweet gal with a pure heart. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She says, I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She says, no, I've just got something so heavy on my heart, to Eli. She says, I'm just overwhelmed. That's what you're seeing. And so Eli realizes that. And in verse 17, that Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, Eli didn't realize the great answer to prayer that was going to come forth when little Samuel would be born. So Eli understood now, and he says, go in peace. And so verse 18, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had truly given the matter to God. She now had a peace in her heart. You know, when we give something to God and learn to spend time in prayer and learn to just get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to go anywhere until I've just emptied myself out before you. And many of you, we've all gone through some things. I think of many of you and some of the things you've gone through, and I know you've poured out your heart unto the Lord. And you know what a blessing that is to just give it to God. How many times do we say we've given something to God, and then we go over to his lap and we pull it off his lap and we take it back and make it a burden back unto ourselves again? Right? Many times we've done that. Well, then it's just good to give it right back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I keep taking that problem. I keep taking that burden, and I keep giving it to you, and then I pull it back from you. I just need to give it to you, and help me, Lord, to just leave it on your lap and let you take care of it the way that you will, the way that you want to. That's just a good way to handle our problems. It's just a good way to deal with things. And so David had said that. David had said in Psalm 109 in verse 4, I gave myself to prayer. I gave myself to prayer. We talk about prayer a lot here because it means a lot to us, but are we praying people? Are we praying? I encourage those parents, and I know you've put a lot of prayer into those that have dedicated their children here to the Lord, that you just keep praying. Pray for your children. Pray that God will work in their hearts at a young age. Lord, would you do something in their hearts right now so that as they get older, they will be more inclined to receive you? That Lord, help them with maybe some of the things that, you know, we have struggled with. Will you work in their hearts? I would encourage, you know, the Woolgers. I would encourage the Harrises to just look unto the Lord and just ask him to do things in those little hearts right now. Because God can do some things in those hearts right now and soften them and make them more pliable and make them more receptive as they get older. Don't think that you have to wait for problems to happen. Boy, be praying for them right now. Be praying for that little guy and with Ezra and Hannah for those little gals. And I pray for them all the time. I pray, God, would you work in those little hearts? Help them to have a love, those twins, for one another. Help them as they get older to have receptive hearts. And, you know, they're all going to be rascals, okay, here and there. We already know that. I know Hayden's looking at me. No, Lane, never. Never. They're going to be rascals, all right? Even my granddaughters, I know, I can't believe I said that. Yeah, listen, they're all going to be rascals because there's a sin nature there, but God will honor your prayers. He'll honor your prayers as you pray for those little ones. And again, folks, that's where so often we get tripped up because we failed to give things to the Lord. Let's learn to give things to the Lord. So they head back home in verse 19. I love this. It says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And you know, I think if Penina might have pitched in anything on the way back, I think Hannah was just like, eh, doesn't even bother me anymore. She had given something to the Lord. And it says, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. I remember your prayer. I heard your prayer, Hannah. Know this for certain. God always hears the prayers that he first inspires in our hearts. Did you get that? God will always answer the prayer that he inspires or he puts into our hearts. A great passage for that is Psalm 37 and verses 4 and 5. Let me read those passages. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, there's times when the Lord puts something on our hearts to pray about because he wants to fulfill it. And we just need to be discerning enough to understand, Lord, yes, I believe you've laid that on my heart to pray about it. And I'm praying about it believing that you're going to do something great. It's good to be on that same page with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. It is a good thing. And it's a blessing when I can look at that and realize how many things God did in my life, and he just put it on my heart, just pray about it and trust me and let me do it in my timing. It's always good to just let God do things in his own timing. Yep. Amen? Right. I can get an amen for that one, right? Certainly. That's always important that we just let him do what he wants to do. And then verse 20 says, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So she becomes a mom and God answers her prayer. And then verses 21 through 23, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So for the next few years, she raises him, and she loves on him, and she prepares him and herself for what lies ahead. I mean, can you imagine? She knew, no, this child belongs to you, Lord. But I need that special time with him. hers was a unique situation, you know. No mom here is asked to you know, after your child is weaned, to go take it somewhere else. But in this particular case, God said, and he laid it on her heart, I'm going to use this young boy, and he's going to grow up, and I'm going to use him in a great way for all of Israel, because the Lord talks about how Samuel was just a great man of God. You know, no one was perfect, but man, what a great prophet he was and how God used him. But she laid it on, the Lord laid it on her heart that this was her, this was the plan, this was his plan for her life. And she was good with that, but she wanted to have that special time. Well, I have no doubt that she had no regrets. Chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10, we won't read all that, but that's her song of praise. She gave a song of praise in verses 1 through 10 of what the Lord had done and how the Lord had vanquished the adversary and how the Lord answered prayer. And you could see her rejoicing. And when you get an opportunity, you read those 10 verses. It reminds me of William Borden, who was part of that Borden estate, you know, Borden Dairy, back in the 1850s it was started. And William Borden was born, I think, in 1886. And he was this young man, a young teenager. And he was already a millionaire as a teenager. His parents sent him around the world for his graduation gift. As he goes around the world, his heart's in another place. He's seeing people with needs, and he had come to know the Lord, and his heart was gone toward missions, and he wanted to become a missionary, and that's where the Lord led him down that path to go and take the gospel to Muslims. And it was later written in his Bible, because he only lived to be 25, and at the age of 25, he got cerebral meningitis and died as he was going to learn the language to reach Muslims for Christ. And so many thought, man, this guy, what a waste. This guy had a fortune and he gave it away. But you know what he had written in his Bible? He had three things written at the back or front of his Bible, but it said, one, no reserves. You know what he had? He gave it away. That man had a lot of money. As a young man, he said, no, I don't need this. I'm going to trust Christ. And it said, no reserves. And the second thing it said was, no retreat. I'm not backing off of this decision. It's the right decision. I'm going to go forward for whatever it is that the Lord's called me to. I don't care about all that I could have had on this life. And then the last thing that he wrote was, no regrets. No regrets. I have no regrets about this decision to serve the Lord. And you know, that applies so much here to this story that we read about. And when God answered her prayer, she gave unto God. She had no regrets about taking this little boy and saying, Lord, he belongs to you. He'll be raised by that high priest Eli. And so she gave to God. She just followed through on what God had laid on her heart. And she followed through on what she had promised. And verse 24 says this, as we read here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So she now comes to that point where it's time to travel that some 18 miles. You think, well, that's not that far, but back in the day, I mean, that's like here to Athol. But not that back in those days, you just don't travel those 18 miles that simply. And so she came to deliver him to Eli, the high priest. There in verse 25, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And you know, no doubt, that was a difficult assignment. A mom's heart for her little boy. But I believe in her heart, she knew that God was all over this and that her son would do well. Even when she saw Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, because the word was out, those guys were not good. Those guys were wicked. Can you imagine she's leaving him with Eli and she knows, man, his sons are vile. It's okay. I trust you, Lord. You told me to do this. I can trust my son with you. And she trusted the Lord that he would take care of little Samuel, even with those vile sons of Eli there. And it says here in verses 26 through 28, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. This is several years later. Little Samuel's a little boy now. And she's reminding Eli, do you remember me? I'm that woman that was praying. And he said, oh, I remember now. She said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I asked him, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. So long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She gave him to God. And you know, there was certainly an understanding that Eli understood, this is of the Lord. Yes, I'll take this little boy in. They offered that sacrifice. She tells Eli all about that. And then they give Samuel, this young child, to Eli's care. And as much as she could, she was there for her boy. Chapter 2, just verses 18 and 19, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She never, ever lost her love for her boy. Never. It'd just be foolish to even think that. Can you just imagine how much she prayed for him? Imagine how we heard a special about a praying mom. You know Hannah was a praying mom. And then we continue to read and we see how the Lord blessed her. Verses 20 and 21. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. God blessed them. God blessed them for what they had done. It says in Psalm 113 and verse 9, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. She who couldn't have any child, God blessed with very many. And oh, how Samuel was greatly used of God. Let me just read these passages. Verse 26 there of chapter 2. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And then in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, just two verses, it says this. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. They knew without a doubt, man, Samuel is a man of God. Might every one of us, folks, might we all learn the great value of just turning everything over to him, of giving him everything in our lives, whether it's our children, our lives, or everything that we have. That's easily applied from this story, amen? Something that is special for those of you that are still raising children, whether they're little ones or, you know, toddlers or teens or whatever age they are, turn them over unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I want you to have my children. Thank you for the opportunity to raise them. But maybe it's other things. Maybe it's just the things in your life of just turning them over unto the Lord. You know, your children at an older age, your extended family, whatever it is that God's laid on your heart, it's good for you and I just to turn them over to the Lord and say, Lord, you deserve everything. And I want to turn everything over to you as much as I possibly can. And so today on Mother's Day, well, what an honor for us it is to acknowledge our moms, because in doing that, we realize all of the sacrifices that our moms have made for us. Amen? Amen. Think about what moms have done for us. And may we be grateful for what our moms have done for us. And may we celebrate with them and honor them as the Lord tells us to do. And may we also just learn how to turn everything over that we possibly can to the Lord and just trust him, as we see in this story with Hannah. God can certainly speak to your heart in ways that I'm not even aware of, but the Spirit of God can certainly speak to hearts. Now, maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then my desire for you, what I would encourage you to do, what I would persuade you to do, is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Trust him. He wants to save you. He made the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. He gave his life on a cross and was buried and rose again. And now he wants to come into every life, save them, give them everlasting life. If you're here without Christ, then I encourage you to trust him as your personal Savior. Mom, thank you again for everything, all the moms that are here. Thank you again for everything that you mean to us. I'd like us to bow our heads, and we'll have an invitation hymn here in just a moment. Maybe God's spoken to your heart as a mom, or maybe someone who appreciates their mom. Maybe this is just a good time to thank the Lord for what he has done in your life, for the great mom that he's given to you. And maybe that in turn makes you realize, I need to turn over everything in my life to the Lord and just learn to trust him. And let him do in my life what he wants to do. He did something tremendous in the life of Hannah. He worked upon her heart, and she turned over a little child that she didn't even have yet. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a man-child, I will give him unto you. That's what we should all do as parents, is give our children unto the Lord. If he's spoken to your heart today, I hope that you'll respond to him. Father, we thank you today. Thank you again for Mother's Day. Thank you for our moms. Thank you that we can honor them today. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to respond in whatever fashion, whatever way that you are laying upon our hearts. If there's somebody here without Christ, we pray, Father, that they'd get saved, that they'd come to trust Christ as their Savior. Thank you once again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.